Hello and welcome to the very first episode of the New Age Inspired podcast. I am your host, Emily Douglas, and our guest today is a dear friend of mine, and I'm so excited to share her story with you. Shannon Bittescombe is a videographer and founder of Pipe Dream Productions.
It's like with anything, anyone starting a business or anyone starting anything new in life, you're not going to be perfect straight away.
I've watched Shannon create something truly incredible by stepping outside of her comfort zone and following her dreams. Throughout this episode, we discuss Shannon's journey as a videographer, society's pressures when choosing a career path, challenges when starting a new business, and so much more. Hello, Shannon, and welcome to the New Age Inspired podcast. How are you?
Hello, thank you for having me. I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, good. So let's dive in. I want to know a little bit about your Pipe Dream Productions and how that actually came about. So what was your dream for this and why did you actually start Pipe Dream Productions?
Yeah, so I've actually thought about this myself. So when I was younger, my great granddad, he's passed away now, but he used to always carry around a video camera and just take videos of me and my sister. And I think I was about 9 years old when I started noticing that he'd always have this camera. And then we'd always make him show us all the footage on his TV. And when he passed away, we actually got a video cassette tape made out of all the footage that he'd taken. And even now, we still love looking back on the memories. So since then, it just sort of inspired me to put little iPhone videos together of my daughter, mainly for her birthdays and stuff like that. Just little simple, easy ones using, you know, the app iMovie.
Yes. On your iPhone.
Yeah, that's that one. So I said to my mum years ago that I'd love to get into filming memories for people. And that's where the whole wedding idea came into my thoughts. But back then when I said it was just an idea that I thought probably wouldn't ever happen. And then last year, the thought just kept playing on my mind. And I was going through a bit of a rough period mentally. And I actually remember being in Perth and I caught up with my friend for coffee and mentioning that I felt a little bit lost, didn't know what I wanted to do for a career. And then I told him about the whole wedding filmmaking idea. And he was like, you need to do this. And I'm someone who sometimes needs to be pushed. And I remember him saying, by the end of the week, I need you to make some progress. So I ended up reaching out to a Perth videographer on Facebook. It was just on a Facebook group. I think it was called Perth Wedding Videographers. And I just said, hey, would anyone let me shadow them for the day? And then one lady was nice enough to let me come up and shadow her to film a wedding.
Could you explain what shadowing is?
Yeah, so I basically just went up after work on a Saturday and I attended the wedding that she was filming. And basically she actually had three cameras. So her and her partner had one each because her partner was like her assistant. And then they gave me a third one just to play around with, and they let me film and they taught me heaps of stuff. I was there from about 2 p.m. to 8 p.m. So I got to be there for the, not the prep because I had to drive up from Bunbury to Perth, but I was there for the ceremony and the reception. And I learned heaps. And from there, I knew that that was what I wanted to do. And that's when I started buying my own equipment and so on.
Oh, fantastic. That's really, really cool.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah. So what did you get from doing the shadowing? What did you get out of that experience?
I think I just got a feel for what it would be like on the day. Because I was like, I'm not going to know if I want to do it unless I go and see what it's like. And I think being with them, watching the whole process, made me go, yeah, this is, I would love to do this.
How did you feel when you were actually reaching out to them to ask them for you to go and shadow them?
Well, I actually put a Facebook post on the group.
Oh, okay.
Wedding videographer group and said, hey, would anyone let me shadow them for the day? And she reached out to me. And I was a bit nervous because I'd never met her before and I didn't know if she expected me to have all this knowledge. Mm-hmm. But I did say to her in the messages, like, I haven't filmed before. It's just something that I'm looking at getting into. And she mm-hmm. was actually really good. Like, she even put together a Zoom meeting about a week before. And went over the whole day, sent me a plan of the whole day so I knew what was going on. Like, she was super organized. And, yeah, it was just so nice of her because obviously she wasn't getting anything out of it. But she said she actually really enjoys doing that for people because it helps upskill, not upskill, but it helps her, like, refresh on her own skills, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's really cool. And would you... let's say in the future, would you let people shadow you eventually?
Yeah, 100%. I definitely think I would definitely give back the favor to someone.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
So where did you, like, how did you study for this? Did you do study or was this just something that you learned on the fly? Could you explain a little bit about that?
Yeah. So I haven't done any videography study as such, but I know people who have family members in the industry who didn't study anything either. So that kind of made me go, okay, maybe I don't need to study anything. And so what I did was I just did a lot of my own study and research through YouTube tutorials and even just talking to other videographers online. I'm in a Facebook group where other filmmakers connect and share advice. In saying that, though, I do have a Bachelor of Arts degree with a media major, but there wasn't any filmmaking involved in that. But we did do a few photography units, so I wasn't completely clueless about using digital cameras, but I've still had so much to learn about them.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And do you think that having that bachelor has helped, or do you reckon you've learned more by going on YouTube, talking to other photographers, other videographers? Like, what do you think?
I think definitely YouTube and speaking to other videographers, I've learned the most. Yeah, but amazing. just having a bit of, like, background is really good. And I've actually, even other filmmakers who have studied something, and this isn't me saying that studying for it is bad or anything like that.
No.
But a lot of them have said that the study that they've done at uni or TAFE or whatever is a little bit outdated. So they find they've learned so much online as well. Yeah, like, they've learned the most important things through YouTube. And, like, you can even do, and this is something that I want to do in the future, but I want to do like workshops online.
Yeah. That's really, really cool. So really, if anybody had, like, a dream about being a videographer, that they have opportunities to do that without any skill, really.
Yeah. Well, one of my friends, her brother is a really successful videographer, and she said that he didn't study anything either. He just had a knack for it. So it's cool that you can, and I think there's quite a few photographers that are like that as well. They just are self-taught.
Yeah, and it's just, like, a passion for them.
Yeah,
that's fantastic. Cool. Yeah. So how did you get your business up and running then? Like, what steps did you actually take when you decided you wanted to do this?
So when I knew it was 100% what I wanted to do, I went and saw an accountant in Bunbury. Her name's Shannon at Elevate Tax, and she helped me get everything up and running. I obviously had to think of a name for my business, and I chose Pipe Dream Productions because it's my daughter's name is Piper, and I wanted to have her name incorporated in there somewhere.
I love it.
Yeah. And then I, my mum actually came up with it, so I can't even take credit for the name. Thanks, Mum. But then I then went on and created an Instagram, booked my first wedding in, and at this stage that wedding is the only one that I filmed and published apart from my auntie's one, which was more of a practice. But I've since then I've started putting myself out there and getting more bookings for this upcoming wedding season, which is really exciting. And just doing other little videos as well. But even just speaking to my family and friends before I committed was another step that I took before I got started, because I obviously wanted their opinion to see whether they thought it was something that I could handle. And everyone that I spoke to was really encouraging and thought that I'd be good at it. So I was like, why not?
Yeah. Did you feel in yourself that you were capable?
I did, yes. But I think, yeah, and that was obviously the main drive, but then I think it's sometimes nice to just reach out to your friends and family sometimes, because they know you really well, and just get their thoughts and opinion as well, just as like a bit of a backup.
Yeah, absolutely.
No one was discouraging. Everyone was like, yep, you'd be really good at it. So that made me feel even better. But yeah, I definitely think it was something that I chose to do on my own, but it was nice to just get their opinion as well.
So I wanted to ask you and have a little bit of a discussion about the financial strains of starting up a business or following a dream, I guess, that you have. So what things did you find, or do you find now, like a bit challenging?
Yeah, so I think for me, there was so much equipment involved, and so there was so many things that I needed to buy and so many things that are essential for filmmaking. There's obviously things that aren't so essential that you can buy later down the track, but yeah, like things, you know, buying two cameras, a tripod, microphones and all that sort of stuff, it does add up and it is a massive cost. So for me, it's been really helpful having a part-time job on the side. And I know that, you know, it is, although it's challenging from the time perspective, because I am there about 30 hours a week, finding the time outside of that to do what I want to do has been challenging, but it's been good because it's helped me be able to afford the things that I want to buy.
And I think there's different avenues of people when they do start out either in business or starting out like a passion project or something, that it doesn't have to be you quit your job and you put everything into it. You can also transition from doing part-time work and then doing this on the other days, or like a different alternative like that.
Exactly. And everyone's situation is so different, and everyone, depending on what it is that you're starting up your own business in, everyone has different expenses, like whether it's expenses to do a course or say if you're starting up a cafe, like could you imagine all the things that you'd need to invest your money in? But I think, and it can be really hard because you're not guaranteed that you're going to make that money back, but you do you just have to believe in yourself and know that if you really put your mind, if it is something that you really want to do and you believe that you're going to be successful, you just have to remember that you will be at a loss in the beginning, but you will make it back if you put the hard work in.
Yeah, and I think that's probably I think us as human beings, we love certainty. We like to know what's going to happen next so that we're prepared for it in a way. And when there is that sense of uncertainty, you don't know what's going to happen. So you're kind of going in blind, I guess, and you've got no idea how, you know, are you going to get that next client? Are you going to get that money? How are you going to pay for your personal expenses? Like, you know, people have mortgages and personal loans, or you're paying for a course, like you said. All the setup costs, like that all costs money. So unless you've saved a large amount to put into the business, that's going to cover you while you're not working as well, or you do have to get a part-time job just to cover those expenses.
Exactly. Yeah. And you can start off, you know, working part-time and starting your business up small and then it growing. Or some, you know, some people want to go in all guns blazing. They don't have a job on the side and they start their business from scratch and that's what they put all their time into. But I think it's, yeah, like you said, unless you have the money saved as well, which I see that can also be hard, because if you've saved for such a long period of time and all that money is gone, that can also be quite confronting.
Like, oh, absolutely.
You're, like, you're used to having that money there and then it's gone, and then it's like, oh my gosh, I hope that's something that I'm able to make back. But like I said, you will eventually. It's just,
it's that
uncertainty at the start, and it's just, it's, yeah, it's a time thing for sure. And that's what I have to keep reminding myself.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know going from, you know, full-time work and earning a really good wage, you know, you get used to saving a certain amount, and then you go from that to not working at all and living off your savings, then to getting a part-time job and you're not really putting money back into your savings, it can be quite an adjustment. And I know, like, for me, the thoughts that go through my mind of like, oh God, what are you doing? Like, is this the right choice? You're not putting any money back in, but then you also don't have the pressure and the stress of what you were doing before as well. You're actually following your passions and you're able to do what you actually want to do. Yeah. And it will end up paying off. Exactly. Yeah. And I remember, and it's true.
Remind myself, I'm putting money into this, but I'm spending this money to then make money in the future.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I think a lot of us just forget that.
Mm.
And any startup, any emerging business owner, anyone trying to follow a dream or a passion, there is, like, I mean, this is generalizing, but most of the time there is a cost involved. Mm-hmm. And that has to be outlaid before you get anything back.
Exactly.
But yeah, it definitely is a transition, mm-hmm. and which will be paid off in the end.
Mm-hmm.
But you just have to keep going.
Yeah.
Since you get to that point.
Yeah, exactly. And since doing this, like, I've cut my hours back a little bit from what they were at the start of the year. But since having these expenses, I've had to learn to budget more as well. And I've been listening to a podcast called She's on the Money, and that's been really helpful. Just gives you really good tips,
mm-hmm.
on how to save more and just budget more. And even, yeah, she's got really good advice for people that are starting up businesses as well. I definitely recommend listening to her podcast if you are starting up a new business, because she's got lots of different episodes on there about that too.
Yeah, that's great. Because it is an adjustment as well. You go from full-time wage guaranteed every week to unstable, variable. You don't know what you're going to get each month or each week, especially if you're not working part-time. Mm-hmm. And even then, that's just going to cover your expenses, and then you've got to do all this other work to get the extra bonus money from what you're actually doing.
Yeah. She actually gave this really good piece of advice as well for people that do have their own businesses and they have a variable income. So people like you and me, our income is always going to vary. Like, some months it'll be higher than others. And she said, like, you know, depending on how many clients we have, but she said, if you are doing up a budget, to always budget off your lowest month.
Yeah.
So anything you get on top of that is like an extra.
Yeah. Yeah. And then at least you're not overspending.
Yeah. If you have a quieter month, then you've budgeted for that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess you do need to have a contingency plan as well of, okay, what is the minimum amount of money I need to have to cover all my expenses, if any? You know, there's a lot of people in really great situations as well that have it all covered, so that's fine. But really, in general, like, we've all got expenses that need to be covered.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't just go off and be like, cool, I'm quitting my job, I'm just doing this without any plan. It's like, okay, well, exactly. what about your mortgage? I mean, how's that going to get paid?
It's not realistic.
Yeah, like it is, and it is unrealistic in that point. And you're just going to get yourself, that's just a recipe for disaster and failure, I guess, rather than having a little bit of planning and being like, okay, cool, this is possible, but it's gonna take a little bit longer to get there, or I'm going to take a different path to get there as well.
Exactly. And I think the main key theme here is just having patience.
Yeah.
Because like Absolutely. You said, it's all just a time. It's a time thing.
Yeah, definitely. What do you love about being a videographer?
Definitely the creative side. And I also like how there's always something new to learn. I obviously have so much to learn, which is sometimes overwhelming, but I also find it really great at the same time because I love learning new things and I love when my brain is busy. But yeah, being a beginner, I obviously have a lot to learn. I've got like a big list of all the things that I want to like ace. But I think it's something where I'm always going to be learning no matter how much experience I have, because, you know, like video trends are always changing. There's always going to be new and improved cameras being released. There's always going to be editing softwares that are going to be updated. At the moment, I'm in the process of creating, like figuring out my own sort of style filming, and I'm enjoying the process of that. I also find that it's a really supportive industry.
That's good.
Yeah, so weddings are really great because you make so many connections through word of mouth, but also you meet other photographers that sometimes are already videographers. The wedding that I filmed in May, there was two photographers and one of them was also a videographer. So she was really helpful and gave me heaps of advice. Yeah, I just find it's like a really supportive industry. Everyone wants to help each other. I haven't found it really competitive or anything
at this
stage, which is nice. It's refreshing.
Yeah, that is. It's really really nice to have an environment like that and I guess a career path in that way as well.
Yeah. Well, even the girl that let me come up to Perth and I just find that everyone that I've spoken to in that field has been really helpful.
That's awesome. That's really, really cool. Yeah. And going back just quickly to when you seen your accountant, what little things did you have to get in place with her? Was it like applying for an ABN?
So applying for an ABN, creating like a Xero account to do invoices and stuff like that.
Yep.
On Xero, I'm trying to think. There was so much. Insurance. I'm still in the process of coming up with a website, but she was good at giving me advice for the website. She was the one that was like, you need to go home and make an Instagram account. There was definitely a lot involved in the appointment. I'm just trying to think what else.
Would you recommend somebody like starting out going to get advice from an accountant?
Yeah, definitely. And especially when it comes to tax time with all the stuff that you need to buy for a career like this, it's really good. Like she taught me how to upload all my receipts for all the things that I buy, how to track all my travel on an app, call driver's notes and things like that. So I wouldn't have done any of that if she hadn't showed me how.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, just keeping track of everything is really good.
That's awesome. Yeah. And what do you get out of creating a video for someone?
I think it's, I like the feedback and I like being able to capture a memory for someone. I love making other people happy. So
yeah, I love that.
Yeah, so to be able to provide a really great memory for someone, would make me happy.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I think that's like it can be quite rewarding because especially for something like a wedding, it's such a special day for someone, and for you to create that memory for them that they can always look back on to be part of their day, whether you know them or not. I think it's really special.
Yeah, absolutely. That's really, really cool. Yeah. So when you first started out, did you receive any advice from anybody that you would want to share?
Yeah, so in regards to the filming side of things, I was told not to worry so much about the science behind the camera and to just film as much as you can, because sometimes you can spend too much time playing around with the camera settings, especially when you're a beginner, and you can miss really important moments.
Yeah.
So I was told, you know, even if your camera's not on the right, like the exact right settings that you want it to be, just film as much as you can, because you can always edit it later, and it's more important to capture all those moments rather than to miss them because you're too worried. That was a really good piece of advice that I received, and I always try to keep that in mind. That can be the stressor sometimes, and I want everything perfect. Sometimes I'm like, no, it's not about that. It's about capturing all these memories.
And does that, like, when you are filming, sometimes do you get overwhelmed with all of the science behind it?
I do. I think mainly because I'm learning. I think the more I do it, the more I'll feel comfortable.
Yeah, definitely.
It's definitely something that I'm working on at the moment.
Yeah. And when you first started, did you feel uncomfortable?
I didn't feel uncomfortable. I think I felt uncomfortable before I did it, and I was putting all these ideas in my head, like, you're going to stuff this up, this is going to happen, just more in my head. And then when I actually did it, I was like, oh, this is fine. I think because I put all these like really bad negative, like, you know, when you get nervous for something that you're doing for the first time.
Yeah.
But then it was nowhere near as bad as I thought. And I thought, I'm only going to get better the more that I do this as well. So that's.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I remember in a Facebook group that I was in, there was this post on there. It's a worldwide wedding filmmaker Facebook group. And someone did a post in there and they said, hey, can everyone share with me the mistakes that they made filming their first wedding? And there was all these comments and people saying that they forgot that someone lost their memory card, someone didn't have their audio on, and all these mistakes that they made. And then I looked at the work that they produced now, and it was all amazing. And it just made me go, oh, well, everyone starts somewhere and everyone makes mistakes at the beginning. And if I make mistakes, then it's okay.
Yeah. That's really good.
Yeah.
Do you think being in a group like that is really beneficial?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely beneficial. Just connecting with other people doing the same thing is beneficial because you're learning from them. And when you do make mistakes, it's good to know that you're not the only one.
Everyone
that does this, no one just starts out perfect. Everyone that does this has the same struggles at the start, and everyone's on there trying to help you as well. And if I have any questions about anything, if I pop a post in there, I'll always get responses.
Yeah.
Always someone willing to help. Yeah.
And I guess knowing that no one was perfect when they first started out probably relieves a bit of pressure for you as well.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's like with anything, anyone starting a business or anyone starting anything new in life, you're not going to be perfect straight away.
Yeah. And I think we put a lot of pressure on ourselves just in society of, you know, when you first start something, everything has to be in place. Everything has to be perfect. You have to be skilled in absolutely everything. You have to have the best social media. You have to have the best speaking skills, technical skills, all of this stuff. But really, when everyone first starts out, that's so not it.
Yeah, and it's actually been a really good learning experience for me, because I am someone, if I'm not perfect at something straight away, I get really frustrated with myself. So it's actually been a good learning experience for me to be like, I'm not going to be perfect straight away. Just take your time, make mistakes, and don't be too hard on yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you think there's a lot of pressure with, I guess, social media and what we're exposed to nowadays, like of seeing everybody's success and what they're doing?
Yeah, definitely. And everyone just posting their highlights. We're all guilty of it. So.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah, I am.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Definitely not going to be posting photos of myself when I'm sick or having a depressed day.
So, no.
Yeah, I think everyone is guilty of doing that, or most people are. And so, yeah, we do just see the highlights all the time, and it does put a lot of pressure, you know, to have the perfect life.
Absolutely. And, I mean, even just comparing yourself to somebody else as well.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh, I do it all the time. I look at these filmmakers that have 10 years worth of experience and I'm like, oh, I want to do that. And I'm like, well.
In 10 years' time.
Yeah, exactly. Like, just be patient.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think
that I'm not happy with what I've produced so far, but sometimes you do get caught up looking at these people that are just, you know, that charge tens of thousands of dollars for weddings that are so amazing, but they all started somewhere as well.
Exactly. And I think we all forget that too, that in anything, in any industry, in any skill or whatever, the person that has the most experience and is the best, they started somewhere.
Exactly. And
they weren't, there would have been someone else that was way better than them when they first started.
Yeah.
And I guess just taking each step, learning, continuing and pushing through.
Exactly. You've got to get through the hard bits.
Yeah, exactly. And there is going to be hard bits. And I think we forget that because of what we see on social media, we just think, well, someone started it and then they're just automatically overnight perfect at it, and they've not gone through any hardship, they haven't had any downtime, they haven't had any negative thoughts, self-doubt or anything like that, because we don't see it.
Yeah. Them being perfect at it.
Yeah, exactly. And we forget that we're all human and we do go through these cycles. And when you are learning something, and I know for me, when I'm learning new things, especially like even this with the new podcast, I've never done a podcast before. So when I'm comparing to these amazing podcasts, it's like they would have started somewhere as well.
Yeah, exactly. And you don't know how much time they took practicing before they started talking, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think there is a road to success or whatever that means for you, but there is hurdles and hard work and time and dedication throughout that. Like, that is the recipe for it, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Agreeing.
So if you could go back and tell your 16-year-old self anything, what would it be?
Yeah, probably just to not worry so much about what you're going to do for a career. As you probably know as well, anyone our age, like, I feel like there is so much pressure when you're that young at school to know what you want to do, even before 16. And there are some people who are lucky enough to know what they want to do from a young age, and some people who just take a little bit longer. Yep. And there's nothing wrong with that. I was one of those people that had no clue. I'm pretty sure I wanted to be a TV presenter on one of those like travel shows because back then I liked the idea, but I am terrible at public speaking and that would not have gone down well for me. Yes, but, you know, and I have a daughter who's 9, and I'll tell her the same thing when she's 16, if she's feeling uncertain about what career path she will take, because you know, some people have their dream job at 20 and some people don't find it until they're at least 40.
Yeah.
Everyone is different and there's nothing wrong with taking time to figure out who you are as well before you decide what you think you want to do with your life.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And do you think that, like, what pressures are on people at that age? What do you think does put the pressure on them?
Parents, the school teachers, even just comparing yourself to friends that already know what they want to do before they finish school, things like that. Probably now as well, like you touched on before, social media, seeing successful people online that they aspire to be, but they don't know what it is that they want to do.
Yeah.
Successful.
Yeah. What do you think would help? Like if we were to go into a school now or something like that and help, you know, a 16-year-old that's uncertain, what do you think would be helpful at this point for them?
Definitely less pressure for students to do ATAR.
Yeah.
Called ATAR now. It was TE, then it was ATAR. Yeah.
Yeah. That's when you do like, is it the year 11 and 12 studies so that you can get into university? Is that right? Yeah,
that's the one. And, you know, like even my friend and I were talking not long ago and she was saying when she was in high school, she really wanted to do beauty, but she was knocked down so much by the teachers saying, that, you know, it's not a high paying job. You're not going to be successful from that. And she's like, I know so many beauticians now that run their own businesses that are doing so well, but they push you to do ATAR because it makes them look good as a school and it's just not right. So yeah, even having spokespeople come in as well, like yourself.
Yeah.
Would be really helpful, I think.
Yeah, I remember when I was at school and because I didn't finish year 12, I went off and did TAFE and there was a lot of pressure to do TEE.
Well,
and
I think even the pressure to finish year 12.
Yeah, exactly. And I didn't know what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. Like, why would I go and waste all this time at university when...
And look at you now.
I've got, yeah, exactly. Yeah, and there's a lot of people that get pushed down that path as well. And I'm not saying that it's a generalization of everyone goes down this path. There's a lot of people that do go to university and love what they do and that's their career, exactly what you said. But there are a lot of people that go down that path and they end up doing all these degrees and they don't use them.
Yeah, well, it's sort of like me at the moment. I don't regret doing it, but it doesn't, my degree, I mean, I did learn some creative things, but it doesn't have a whole lot to do with what I'm doing now.
Yeah.
And that's the same, yeah, for so many people. So many people stop and start things and get confused and, yeah, it's hard. Being in your 20s especially is hard because there is so much pressure.
Yeah, and I feel like you're still trying to find out who you are, what you like, what you don't like, and then you get pushed into making this decision of, exactly. Okay, you need to choose your life career now.
Yeah.
It's like how can you make that decision?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And, I mean, and this is just my opinion as well, of you get pushed into the conventional pathway of going to school, you go to university, you get one job, and then that's the job that you are to stay in, and then that's pretty much what you do for the rest of your life.
Exactly.
Whether that be if you are passionate about it or not, and awesome if you are passionate about it, like that is just so good. I really wish I figured out what I was passionate about back then and I could have started earlier. However, I wouldn't have all this life experience now and to figure out what I'm doing now. But there's a lot of people out there that have they don't have any interest for it. They're just doing it because they got told, oh, you got really good scores, you should be a doctor, mm-hmm. even though you're not really passionate about it or whatever.
Yeah. Just because, yeah, that's exactly right. Just because someone is really smart, like really good at something, say
say if someone's really good at maths, it doesn't mean you have to be a mathematician, because they might not want to be. They just happen to be good at it, but they don't want to do that as a career. Same as about being a doctor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that you do need a bit of passion and inspiration in whatever you do, so that it can keep you going, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
So, like with you wanting to create memories for other people, there's not going to be like an end date on that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I can be doing it when I'm 50, 60 years old if I want to.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's sad that, you know, talking about your friend, that there was no support there of her dreams.
Yeah.
Of what she wanted to do.
Yeah.
Because there is so many people out there that are doing different career paths and the non-conventional and doing really well.
Exactly. And it's so true.
Absolutely. So when you are, I guess, feeling a little bit low and maybe negative thoughts or whatever, what are some things that you do that keep you inspired?
Yeah. So if I want to be inspired for the filmmaking aspect of things, I love watching other people's wedding videos, because it always gives me creative ideas and inspiration, whether that's on, even if it's just little reels on Instagram, or if it's watching a full video on YouTube or something like that. But for life inspiration, I definitely love listening to podcasts.
Yeah. What's your favorite podcast?
I actually love listening to this podcast called Shameless. But it's a pop culture podcast, and they do these in conversations with successful people. Mainly in Australia. And it's just really cool listening to other people's stories and figuring out how they got to where they are, and that they still have the same, like, they're so much more relatable than what you think as well. And I just really like it. And they interview such a range of different people. And you actually also recommended me at the Mornings with Mr. Anxiety podcast. And I find that really good. It's definitely been helping me with when I'm feeling anxious or stressed about something. There's some really good tips in there for dealing with that. I really like those sort of podcasts.
Yeah, brilliant. That's so good. And what I know that you are a bit of a music person and love that. What is one song that gets you in a really good mood? Like if you're feeling like a bit down and you just want to get in a good mood, what is that one song for you?
It's so hard to pick one. It's a really hard, but I do love any really like cheesy pop song from the early 2000s. Like, you know, the song Breathless by The Corrs. I think they're like a British girl band. Love that song. Always puts me in a good mood.
I love that. That's so good.
And I know. Other song, Buses and Trains by The Bachelor Girl.
Love that.
Always. It's just a belter. Anything that I can really like belt it out to.
I love that. That's so good. And
they don't make songs like that anymore.
No, they don't. It's not
not the same.
It's not the same. It's so not the same as the early 2000s or late 90s. They were the best.
Agree.
They were the best. So before we wrap up, is there anything extra you want to add for anybody wanting to either take action on a dream that they have that probably hasn't had the most support over?
Yeah. That's such a good I'm just trying to think now. I think just don't put too much pressure on yourself. Mm. If there's something that you really want to do and you're feeling really nervous, so for instance, with me, what I did was I got some practice in where I didn't charge people just so I had room to make mistakes.
Yeah.
And, you know, be okay if I did. I think like not being too hard on yourself. As I said before, I put all these ideas in my head that I was going to make all these mistakes, and I didn't even end up making half the mistakes that I thought I was going to, because I think a lot of the time we do put so much doubt in our minds and convince ourselves that we're going to fail something before we even try. And I think that's another thing. We care too much about what people think as well.
Mm.
So we don't want to try something new in case we fail. But how do we know that we're going to fail if we haven't even tried it yet?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think a lot of people do get stuck in that. Exactly what you said, you know, they're worried about what people think, but they don't even take that first step at all to even see. So they're looking back and it could have been like, well, oh, what if I should have done that, or what if I actually did do that? But you'll never know because they didn't take the step.
Exactly. And even if you do try something and you're no good at it or you don't like it, then that's totally fine as well. Then that can put you on the path to finding something else that you really like. And people aren't going to sit around and laugh at you or focus on you and what you're doing because they're worrying about what they're doing.
Yeah.
Everyone else is looking at our lives, but they're too busy worrying about their own.
Yeah. And that is so true. Like even when you go out anywhere, you know, you're constantly, and I know I find myself doing this as well, like you're constantly analysing yourself, really. Mm-hmm. You're not worried about what that other person's hair looks like or clothes that they're wearing or what mistakes they've made or whatever. You're then thinking about yourself, and every other person is doing the exact same thing.
Exactly.
It's
sort of like when you get a pimple on your face and you can feel it and you can see it and you think that everyone else is looking at it, but no one else even notices it.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, it really, really is. And it just is so consuming as well.
Yeah. And it's all in the fear of what other people think.
Mm.
Really sad.
Yeah.
I think I'm definitely guilty of doing that sometimes, but I'm trying to train myself at the moment to just not care as much.
How are you doing that?
Just by telling myself that, pretty much, like,
yeah,
no one else. And yeah, just doing that, telling myself things like just reassuring myself that no one else is looking at my life the way I'm looking at my life, and doing things like listening to podcasts that help me. I actually go and see a life coach as well.
Yeah. Which
is really good. And just even sometimes when you're feeling a bit like that as well, speaking to your family and friends, people who love you and support you, and just thinking to yourself, well, if my family and friends love me, why do I care about what these other people think of me that aren't even in my life?
Yeah, that's so true. And I think we all think that. It's like we forget that at the end of the day, you know, we do have the people that love us in our life. If some random down the street doesn't like, you know, X, Y, and Z about me, it's not the end of the world.
Exactly. And they don't even know you well enough to even make that decision. So,
yeah.
If they want to be that judgy, then go ahead.
I don't need you in my life anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Oh, I know. It's,
you know, we give this advice to other people, but then taking it on ourselves is a different story sometimes. Like I can easily say that to a friend or a family member, but then I'm like, why don't I take that advice? So I've really lately have been trying to take that on myself, the advice that I give to someone that I love, that I need to take that advice on for me.
Yeah, and that's really powerful as well, because
yeah.
I think we forget, like, we are really important and we're the only ones that can obviously like really look after ourselves, and we know what we need. So being able to recognize that is huge.
Exactly.
Mind. Yeah. Yeah. That's so good. Oh, thank you so, so much for coming on the podcast this morning.
Thank you so much for having me. Those questions really made me think.
I'm so glad. And hopefully you have inspired some other people who may have had the same dream as you and helped them to take a leap into videography or even starting a business or just following a dream that they have. How can we find you on, are you on Instagram? Are you on Facebook?
Yes, I currently am on Instagram. I probably will start up a Facebook as well, but I think for what I do, Instagram is the main marketing source. So yeah, I'm on Instagram. It's just pipe.dream.productions.
Perfect.
That's my username.
Yeah. Oh, lovely. That is so good. Well, thank you so, so much.
Thank you.
I hope you have a really, really great day and all the best with your venture.
You too. Thank you so much for having me.
And just like that, our first episode is done. I'm so, so happy to be able to share that with you and have this amazing conversation with Shannon. It was great and I got so many insights, which I hope you did as well. And I just wanted to say a big thank you to you for listening to this episode today. It means the world. This podcast has been something I've wanted to do for a while and I finally made it happen. So I hope you have an amazing day and I look forward to sharing future episodes with you.